Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
See you next Tuesday in Jersey. It's the season 11 premiere, and there is never a dull moment. Dolores and David fight over her plastic surgery. Teresa goes around Evan's birthday party talking shit about him, and Jackie makes a comment about Gia that has Teresa fired up. Entertainment reporter and host of the podcast, It Sure Is a Beautiful Day, Kat Sadler joins me to break down the episode. This is Real Housewives of New Jersey, Season 11, Episode 1. See you next Tuesday. Let's get into it. So are you a Housewives fan? Have you watched for years? Do you have a specific favorite city?
Okay. So, Bethany, you know, when I was on E! Covering this stuff every day, I was responsible for kind of watching everything, right? You have to be a bit of an expert on everything. And so as much as like I have had the pleasure of interviewing you before and Housewives from every franchise, I have never been an avid like diehard plot line savvy viewer. So like I know a little bit about everything, but, you know, I had to watch the Kardashians. I had to watch the Emmy nominated scripted shows. So it's kind of like I know enough, but I
you're not fluent, but you speak the language.
Not,
you can get by.
I am not fluent at all, really. Okay. But it was so fun watching this episode because I'm like, why am I not watching more? Because my life is so boring these days. And I'm usually like into the super like dramatic Successions of the world. And, you know, like I like really dark scripted stuff, dramas. But
same.
I was watching this and I had the best time. I was like, oh, this is my new thing. It was fantastic. It was fun.
This is Jersey, and I'm not fluent either. I speak the language better than you, and I have institutional knowledge because I've been inside the show. But some of these episodes, I have never seen this episode either. I don't know who everybody is either. I mean, I have heard their names and seen their faces, but I don't know the characters that well either. So,
well, let me just tell you one fun fact before we get into this, only because, you know, as far as my knowledge goes, I had the crazy assignment. This had to be, you might know more than me, but when Teresa got out of prison, when would that have been? Like,
I'm the literally, okay, time, maybe five years ago.
Okay.
I'm the worst.
Maybe
with
longer.
Years.
I feel like this was maybe 10 years ago.
Okay.
But as someone who didn't know the franchise that well, somehow I got the first post-jailhouse interview with Teresa. And this was in New York City, and it was in a hotel room, and it was 3 hours of exclusive. He had the exclusive, and I was the reporter on this. So that's what I remember. Gosh, that was almost 8 years
ago. 8 years ago.
Yeah. And I got to sit down with her and like hear her talk about her prison experience and whatever. So that was like the biggest, most in-depth like moment. And so it was wild to like watch her in this episode and just see how much has changed and where she is. And I had no idea. So I kind of got caught up on all that.
And now, right now, I'm sure you know she's married and that's controversial too. And it's just a crazy environment. But Dolores and Frank, I don't know what season she started, but I think Frank is her ex-husband and she shares a son with him.
Yeah.
So you saw that she has a son. I think he's like, you know, he looks like a hot kid, but I think people think he's like a really hot son. And and what was interesting to me was that he seems like he's very close with her current boyfriend, who's a doctor.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you see that in the kitchen?
I did see that in the kitchen. I was trying to piece together like, okay, what are all the moving parts here? And yeah, my son is off to college next week. So I get the whole like, oh my God, grown man, but still a child. And he was studying for his trying to get into business school or something. Anyway. That's an interesting dynamic. She's like living with her ex, right?
Well,
like on occasion.
No,
I don't know where she is now.
Her ex is always like, it seems like her ex is always her date and her plus one. And this audience, this Bravo audience, myself including, likes this guy, Frank. He's a good, fun character. And he's, you know, he's like this like cute, sweet meathead that is just always around her. And I don't know if he really is in love with her. They're best friends. They've worked together, I think. I think they've done houses together. But he seems like a good guy. And it just didn't work from a relationship standpoint. I think he might have cheated on her when they were together or something. But it's weird to watch when you know that she has broken up with this other guy. I don't know when or who she's with now, but I think it's in like my periphery that she's not with this guy. And this is sort of like they're setting up for the fact that they're going to break up. So I'm, of course, thinking about what's going to happen with the son and this guy's relationship. But when a son is older, when a child is older, they're an adult and they have their own phone number and text and email so they can have whatever relationships they want. He's an adult.
Yeah, completely. I don't know enough about the backstory, but it's hard to keep up. It's hard to keep up. Do you know that that's exactly what I mean? I'm sorry. I'm not bringing it back to myself again, but this is exactly what's going on in my life at the moment. I moved to Malibu because of my new partner. I've been dating for 2 years and I have 2 sons and they're 18 and 22. And it's so interesting because they have such a great relationship with their own dad that it takes the pressure off because, to your point, it's like they can be as close to Greg as they want to be. They can like connect with him. They can golf with him. They can, you know, bro out with him if they want to, but they don't have to. They're old. They're older. You know what I mean? Like, so
yes.
It's kind of like letting it organically evolve to the level that they want to. And they can come here as much as they want and they don't have to be here if they don't want to be. It's kind of nice. It's kind of freeing when your kids do get older in that sense that when you are choosing a partner, as so many middle-aged women are, you know, maybe the second time around or third time around or who knows what, but you can actually choose for yourself. And obviously you want your kids and your family to adore your partner. But if they don't, it's not the end of the world. It's not a deal breaker.
Well, first of all, yes, do apply it to yourself. Don't say I don't want to make, I want you to apply it to yourself because that's literally what the show is about. It's funny that I just walk into something and you happen to be experiencing it, which I do like this show as a vehicle for that. But yeah, and I find when kids are little kids, you're kind of just like sticking them in a car seat and they're doing what you want them to do. And if they don't like someone that you're with, they'll make a comment, or if someone doesn't like you, it makes you feel really bad. And it's something you have to deal with and you think it's going to last forever. For those of you listening that are in blended families or blended relationships or stepkids that hate you or whatever, things like that are really just a moment in time. And even more so where if there's blending, even teens, tweens, high school, college, there are so few moments that everybody has to be all together at the same time. Like, that's what holidays are for. That's why holidays are stressful. But in my, I have a blended situation. We all have a great relationship, but it's not that often that everyone is actually together, because there's time that my daughter's with a father and I'm with my daughter and I'm with my fiance and he's with his kid. Like, it's hard to corral an entire stable, you know, of animals. So to your point, especially when they're older, everybody kind of can have the relationship they want to have. And yes, the pressure is off. People are adults. They can say what's on their mind. And a child adult can say, I think that's disrespectful what you just said to me. Mm-hmm. And an adult can say, you're spoiled and, you know, whatever. Like, kind of people have voices.
Yes, they do. And it is hard to corral everybody. And sometimes it's good kind of to not. I mean, life is so busy and everybody's got their own agendas and their responsibilities and all of that. I mean, Greg, I just inherited four kids. Greg has four kids. So I have never dated anyone after having my own children who was a father. And so this is
much less four.
Four.
No, that's exactly. A lot. Right.
It's
that's
a lot. And they're, of course, with their mothers week on, week off, week on, week off. So it's not all the time. And I think kind of like what you're saying, it's nice that way, in a sense.
I agree.
That it's like they come, they go. It's not 100% of the time. Everybody can come up for air. Everybody has their own little spaces and places in this world that make them feel good. And it's the pressure's off because of that, I think, for sure.
Well, it's the thing that no one says aloud. Like, in 2023, it's okay. Yeah. You might not, the relationship might not work for you if you had to live with six children in your house. You might not be that, but I couldn't do it. So I could fall in love with someone who had four kids. But if I, and that's what happens in the beginning of relationships. That's why people have to really talk about this stuff more when they're dating and be honest about it, or listen to people like us who have experienced it. If you thought you had to eat the whole entire chicken at once, you might throw up. You couldn't handle it. Like, if I thought I had to have that whole blended family, the idea of it, it would overwhelm me. But in real life, like, everything's a living, breathing organism, and there's no such thing as really traditional now, unless you're 24 and you both come up together and the parents are best friends and everyone travels together and it's like an Italian family from the 60s.
Yeah. But, and just to add one more layer, I mean, here I am about to be literally, Bethany, in 5 days, I drop my son off at college, my baby. And I'm like, I was about to be an empty nester. And some, you know, my friends are like, hold up, wait a minute. You were literally about, your whole world could open up. You could do anything, go anywhere, have any job, take on any project. The freedom was literally just right here in front of my face. And of course, I fall in love with someone with four young kids. And that was a consideration. It was just like, Kat, they're like, are you sure you want to sign up for that? You know, and they're lovely and they're such great children. And I keep saying that. They're like, yeah, but still, it's four kids.
No. It's exactly. So, and that, people do distance, people do divorce, people do widow, people do everything. So I agree. And that's interesting. But that's funny that kitchen conversation brought this whole thing up. So the next topic that was interesting to me about Dolores was, you know, new ass, new tits. And she didn't tell her life partner. Now that is really interesting.
How does that even happen?
I don't actually know. Maybe he was on a business trip, or she said she was at a spa. That's a great point. I don't know if we saw that, but I didn't see it. It wasn't in this episode. Obviously she doesn't have to ask him, and she knows he's very against elective surgery, but I think you just have to tell your partner about something where you're going under. And I can't imagine being in that dynamic. I mean, I wouldn't have to ask Paul's permission to do anything.
Right.
He would feel hurt if I didn't include him. So that's a cautionary tale about their relationship, I think.
I think it's nice to have the endorsement. Like you said, you don't need permission from anybody else, especially your partner, I don't think. But a little support, a little endorsement. I could not imagine keeping something of that gravity from someone that, is.
But also, what about the compassion and the bedside manner? There are times that my fiance does jujitsu, and like, you know, he's in his 40s and he's strong and he's good at it. But sometimes he goes too hard and then he hurts himself. He doesn't want to admit it because he feels like an idiot that he hurt himself. But I'm still there. Like, are you okay? Whether I thought he should have been doing it right after he was injured before or something, it's still like you want the bedside manner of someone if you've gone through surgery. So I thought that whole thing, it's wild. Like, the show is showing that relationship is not going to work.
Yeah, I don't know how that's again possible to A, not tell them, and B, for them to be anywhere within the vicinity to be supportive or judgy, whatever that is. You'd think it'd be a little more intimate dynamic. You do know I just got a facelift. Do you know this?
Oh, no. You.
This is crazy. Yes, me. So that's when I was watching the episode, I was like, oh.
This whole thing is about you. I mean, I know really I love is. My producers and they're always great at pairing guests. There's no way that they paired you because of all this. That then they would be savants and geniuses.
This is they're all laughing. Meant to be. My
okay, it's like your episode. Okay, so go ahead. That's funny.
It's crazy because this is my first surgery ever. So I mean, yeah, it is technically. It is my first, and certainly my first cosmetic surgery. And I had a facelift, I had a neck lift, and I had a blepharoplasty with my eyes. And I've been talking
about
it.
What is that? What is the blepharoplasty?
It's like removing the skin from the lid.
Oh, the hooded.
Hoodedness. Oh, yes.
And how long ago?
The surgery was in May. So I'm about 2 months and some change since I had the surgery.
Oh, so it's new.
It's very new. It's been kind of all I've been talking about and healing from, still healing. Like, even my ears are a little numb. And
you look amazing. I mean, I can't, you. I need to see, like, now I need to see what you looked like before again, but you look amazing. You always are beautiful, but.
I'm so happy with the results. And,
nice.
You know, I'm so, so, so happy. And I've been talking about this because so much of kind of what I am speaking about with my own audiences these days is about, you know, being a middle-aged woman and what's available to us and how to feel good in our bodies, like all of it. The vein, you know, cosmetic side,
you don't
the internal
look
side,
like
the whole
30s.
Thing. Oh, yeah, God bless. Okay. Oh, God bless. A great doctor. Great doctor. But it was funny because for me, in my little bubble, in my little world, even though I've, you know, been in Hollywood for ages, it was a big deal for me to do that. I mean, it was a very big decision. And then I watched this episode. I was like, oh, I don't feel so bad. Everybody's been under the knife and she's had her butt done and her this done and her tits done, you know.
But did you feel weird in a fairly new relationship to say to him, did you feel self-conscious and like weird and old, like that you're but he has four kids, so he's not a spring chicken.
He has four kids. He is older. He's 4 years okay. older. He's 50, okay. you know, 5 years older. But it was back to this plot line, like there is no way, literally not an ounce of possibility that I would be in a relationship and this wouldn't be a consideration for both of us to have that discussion. I mean,
oh, of course. That's what you're, that's the point.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, of course I did. I was like, what do you think? And his big thing was, I just want you to still look like you. Like, I don't want to end up with a new girlfriend that comes home from the doctor and it's like, I have a brand new person in my life. So, you know, he expressed his concerns. I comfort him 17 different ways that I knew how to say that's also what I want. So we talked about it at length. And yes, he is happy and he comments often. And you know, I'm like, see, like, you know, good dog.
That's
so
nice.
Yeah.
That's so funny that this is the episode. And the woman, Margaret, who's on the show, I don't know if she's talked about plastic surgery, and certainly I'm not one to quote unquote out, but everybody on the show seems pretty open about it. The woman Dolores that had the butt stuff, she's one of the only housewives who admit that they're on Ozempic or Mounjaro or one of those, or semi-glutide, whatever. And there has been a sweeping, dramatic housewife weight loss, and everyone's just acting like in their 50s in menopause they just started losing weight, and it's really stupid and hilarious at the same time. It's funny, but like, I think that they've just, it's become more common, so now they probably would have admitted it, but they're stuck in the lie because they already lied about it,
right?
But I'm not saying that's Margaret. I don't even know if she's on Ozempic. I don't know what she looked like before, but she looks very fresh. Like, I feel like I've seen her a lot in the press and other things. Her face looks very, very, she has a fresh look, I think.
Well, and it's going on so much more. I mean, you know, like, you know, I don't know if people are out, everybody's getting a facelift these days, but you know, I love when I'm like
the
scrolling Instagram
and the other things too.
And you look at someone and you're like, they look so refreshed, to your point. And people are like, oh my God, you know, she had such and such makeup artist do her makeup. And it's like, I don't think that's like a really well done eyeliner. I think that's
yeah, but
probably...
what about the filter? How would you know? I mean, you could just do a filter and then you have a facelift every day. If you never left your house, you could just do everything in a filter and it would be, you don't have to do the surgery.
I know. You really literally would not have
to. You know?
To.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, it's Danielle, Will, and Ryder from Pod Meets World. Thanks to our friends at Hyundai, we were able to record a very special episode for you guys at the one and only, wait for it,
Boy Meets World House.
Take a listen.
We are lucky to be sitting with Alan and Amy Matthews in the flesh, William, Rusty Russ, and Betsy Randall.
Yay!
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
When those legends get here, let me know.
You're here. You're here already.
No,
we didn't either when we were watching this.
That's the thing. That's
the
problem.
We didn't realize it until we started getting into seasons 3 and 4. And now we're like, oh my God.
You were both so good on the show and we missed it because we were young.
We were kids and so self-involved.
Egomaniacs and didn't realize how great you were.
We've talked about it. I think you just assumed everybody was as good as them. And,
right.
and then
right.
you get into, right. as you grow up and you work with other actors, you realize how lucky we were to have you guys.
This has been brought to you by the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5. New episode out now. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk about this Jen Aydin scenario. She's got, I think she's Turkish. She's got this, she's got her mother, her old-fashioned mother, who her and her father and siblings are kind of talking about, and the father's moved in, and they're all trashing this mom. But I'm just thinking about on TV, like,
yeah.
You know, talking about the mom and having the dad move in, it just seemed like a little cringy.
I know. I found myself thinking, well, dear God, I hope they're not watching, right?
What's the upside of this?
Well, I feel I feel like she tried to make it, like, put a button on it by saying, no matter what, I'll love my mother, and every relationship with all of our mothers is strained. But yeah, it wasn't necessarily a good look. I mean, I don't know, because you would know, you're of the reality ilk, but like, how much of that is talked about in advance? Or sometimes if there's nothing going on, is that just like almost
A character needs to have something going on and a story. And so producers sit down and ask what's going on in your life. And they might see what's going on in the house and the father's living there. And then she says, my father's living here. And then they're probably like, well, we have to go into that because your father's living here.
Yeah.
But they,
it
he's
felt
not exactly
a little like that to me. Like, it wasn't like a lot, but it was almost like making it something. I don't know.
Yes, I agree. It's funny because Jen Aydin's husband is a doctor. I think he's a plastic surgeon.
Yeah.
It's funny. He parties with those other guys a lot. And it seems like they're always giving him shots and he's always hungover. And it just seems like he's adhering to peer pressure on a reality show, but as an adult, it just always seems like it's sort of funny, but it's ridiculous. These other guys are kind of always corrupting him because he doesn't seem to fit in with this group, which is an example of what happens. Like, you make show friends.
Well, speaking of being adults, I mean, this is probably like I watched, you know, the party scene, the birthday scene and the drinking and the shit talking and, you know, the planting of the maybe this affair and all this stuff. And I was just like, are these people grown ass people? You know, like for me.
Yeah, this is insane.
I'm just like, I did that when I was 16 and barely did it at 16. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, you mean I'm just the like, partying, like the pat, like partying, like the planes
the
going
partying,
down. Like
the, yeah. Just the, I mean, I know that's what reality television is supposed to be. And I know that that's the drama and the juice and the tea and all that. But I'm just like, these are grown ass people with children. You know what I'm like?
You're just
this
a different
behave?
Breed. I'm a homebody. It sounds like you're a homebody.
Totally. People, I'm doing my meditation and my hot yoga, which, by the way, I mean, just a little juice for you, which is completely ironic that we are speaking and that I'm even talking about the Housewives because I never really, really watched. And I, like I said, I'm boring. I'm not like throwing tables and getting drunk in public or anything. But a year ago, the Housewives of Beverly Hills contacted me. And so I went through a whole series of technically auditions to be on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. A little juice for you. And at the time I was just like, why would they? I am so not of the breed, you know, I don't think. You know, I'm like, I would be the super like on the mat reading meditations, journaling with people type of character. But it was funny.
Were
I obviously
you tempted?
Didn't. It was interesting for me to consider. I was tempted because, as you well know, I mean, it's like, you know, it's that type of positioning could help anyone's career or further your all the things I did want that maybe aren't on that show. I could probably, you know, further and develop and grow because of having that type of platform. So, yes, I was tempted, but I thought I just don't know how I would. And by the way, some of those women I do know probably the best just because we're all in L.A. and are friends of mine, but not friends, but, you know, friends, L.A. friends. And I was tempted, but it didn't work out in the end anyway. Maybe that's why, because they're like, well, she's going to be way too safe and not nearly entertaining enough.
You want to know what? I'll tell you something. There are girls that, in thinking about everything I'm going through right now, which I'll talk about separately also on this podcast, I'm doing a lot of reflecting. And I'm thinking about my participation in the toxicity in certain areas. Things I just said anecdotally about people on my show and other casts, like in former blogs we used to do, or when prodded on Watch What Happens Live, and things that were not nice. And that is the nature of that genre. And I bring this up because people like Kristen Takeman, who I met on the show, or Tinsley, who I met on the show, are actually really lovely people. And I got into it a lot with them on the show because they're not great housewives, because they weren't maybe raised by animals and ready to like go to battle in a way that I'm capable of. You know, they're maybe not, they may not always jump off the page and have the funniest, immediate, snarky, quick comment, like a professional, like sniper, like I am. And sometimes with people like that, I didn't really connect with them because we were on a battlefield. Mm-hmm. But like, there was no time for like normalcy and friendships. I'm doing a lot of reflecting about that because it's very relevant.
Yeah.
It is a little Mean Girls, and it is very high school in the sense that I've seen other shows, other housewife shows, and I've seen people that, in my opinion and from my judgmental standards, have done some sleazy, trashy things in their lives, right? And then they've been murdered for it. And they've had to live it down forever. And I've been part of that entire sphere that judge that, because actions that viewers too, just like we're in high school, people, if someone in my high school slept with six guys, I probably would have thought and said they were a slut, okay? And as an adult now who has a daughter, the slut, which is a terrible word, has parents who are watching people say mean things because of whatever choices that child made. I could cry. And I'm thinking about housewives and bad decisions and where the line is and how it's ruined their lives when people have found out things about them and ruin their lives. And I've been part of that entire atmosphere, thinking, saying, judging, being asked about it on Watch What Happens Live, like some anecdotal comment. And it's really hurt a lot of people, not just me, the whole medium. And there is a line. It's been entirely crossed. And, you know, someone asked me the other day if this is my penance. It was not intentionally my penance, but in being manic in my house this morning and cleaning out like five bags of clothes as if it was like some weird obsession because I'm like not dealing with what I really need to be dealing with. Yeah, I said to this reporter, I think it might be my penance. So I say that to you as somebody who I don't think would necessarily be a good housewife. And that's probably a good thing.
Well, it's all I know. It is a good thing because all I know at this age of and with all of I've learned and the wisdom I've, I guess, gained and the beauty of aging is I know myself better than I've ever known myself. And I could not fake the funk, nor would I want to, what that would do to my energy, my spirit. And it's just not worth it. It's not worth it for a paycheck. No, thank you.
No, but knowing that you were tempted says what the whole thing is, meaning you want to be more successful. I'm sure you want to make more money. You want to be, you know, and you would go on. And if you were doing really well, you might end up on anti-anxiety medication, which many housewives do. And you might realize you had a great season because you had it going good. And then the next season, because it's a zero sum game, someone has to take you down. So someone's always winning. Someone's always losing. Someone's always killing and someone's always getting killed. So I've definitely been part of that.
And that sounds like my absolute worst nightmare.
Right.
Like, there couldn't be anything that would hurt more. It just sounds it sounds excruciating. How do you survive that? Like, how do you...
Millions of dollars and going in there with $8,000 in my bank account to my name, growing up in a very abusive household and environment and at the racetrack, being a survivor, living the Hunger Games, being in nightclubs at 13 years old, doing very terrible things that I shouldn't be doing, that I would die if my daughter was doing. I was raised like an animal. So how did I do it? That's how. Because that's what I, you know, when I was broke and I was going to the top. But am I proud of my entire involvement at this time, moment in time? No. But, you know.
Well, it's like what you mentioned. It can change people's lives. It can ruin people's lives. It can end their careers. Like the consequences. Like, yeah, that's the risk. People gamble. You get in. And then look what happens and can happen to people.
Well, it's no different than what I'm saying. Within an episode or a season, it's kill or be killed, and someone's always winning or losing. Within the entire sphere and game, it's also someone's always winning and losing. Ariana's winning. That girl Raquel is fully losing. This one's winning. The other one's fully losing. And it affects their entire life. And both Ariana and Raquel have parents that have to watch whatever this roller coaster is.
I get anxiety hearing you talk about this. No wonder. I mean, my cortisol
so
level
happy.
Starts spike, like spiking.
Never look back. Don't worry. You're better for it.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey, it's Danielle, Will, and Ryder from Pod Meets World. Thanks to our friends at Hyundai, we were able to record a very special episode for you guys at the one and only, wait for it,
Boy Meets World House.
Take a listen.
We are lucky to be sitting with Alan and Amy Matthews in the flesh, William, Rusty Russ, and Betsy Randall.
Yay!
Thank you. Thank you. When those legends get here, let me know.
You're here. You're here already.
We didn't either when we were watching this.
Realize it until we started getting into seasons 3 and 4. And now we're like, oh my God.
You were both so good on the show, and we missed it because we were young.
We were kids and so self-involved.
Egomaniacs and didn't realize how great you were.
We've talked about it. I think you just assumed everybody was as good as them. As you grow up and you work with other actors, you realize how lucky we were to have you guys.
This has been brought to you by the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5. New episode out now. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts.
So, all right. So now we're at this guy's birthday. This poor guy's birthday. Now, I don't really care if he's cheated or hasn't cheated. I don't know. They have 4 kids, too. And I couldn't believe it. I had never seen it. I couldn't believe it. And in many cases, I've been Team Teresa, but not based on watching the show, based on just like a mother went to jail, like came back. She's honest about who she is. She's a fighter, survivor. Like, it's kind of just like what I think I know. I haven't watched that much of Housewives. I've watched individual episodes for the show and just throughout my life. I've never been dedicated. So that was pretty horrendous. Like, that's as bad as I've ever seen. And I don't care what the girl did to her at this point. I don't care.
No.
I can't believe she walked through someone's birthday party that she was attending and spread a rumor. Like, that's really bad. That was disgusting.
Despicable. It's despicable. Yeah, okay. And we've all been in that situation where we've heard something that's going on in, you know, about a friend or a friend's partner and the cheating rumor or whatever. There were 25 other ways she could have went about this than to go do that behind her back at a night where they're celebrating, like dropping that little rumor in every corner of that party that she could. It was really, that's when I was just like, can this be real or is this reality television? Because that was a terrible, terrible decision. And then when they do confront one another about it, when Jackie confronts Teresa and then uses the analogy that it's like Jackie spreading a rumor about Teresa's daughter doing cocaine in the bathroom at school or something and telling everybody but her. And then Teresa loses her and calls her a CUNT.
It wasn't justified. Justified at all. Teresa had no argument. Yeah. She was using an analogy saying it would be like me saying.
Yes.
And it was smart of her to say that. And yeah, of course. Yeah. I and then for her to get crazy, that was nuts. But the thing is, to answer your question, how it goes down, and this is why this whole sphere of is it real and what is reality is going to come crashing down like a house of cards, because is it reality that Teresa said to a producer and maybe a friend something that she heard from one person? Yeah, that's reality. In her life, she's working on a reality show with people she's friends with, not friends with, has alliances because of television, and she has producers at her house all the time. There's tape up on the walls because they have cameras all the time. So she told a friend, and maybe a friend told the producer, because it's always killing or being killed. There's always, if there's new meat, new content, someone wants to bring it to the forefront. No one can happen without bringing it to the forefront. So no, that's not real, because in your real life, there are a lot of things you know and have heard, and you don't bring it to the forefront. So a producer has a meeting with her and then is in the car with her before she gets mic'd to go into a scene, and 100% said, are you going to mention what you heard from blah, blah, blah? And a not that intelligent housewife doesn't make choices for themselves and goes in like a robot and delivers, you know, messages that they're told from producers. So she went in, and she also was drunk. You're drinking a lot of alcohol, which I also am starting to have a problem with. Where's the line when producers will say this person cannot be served anymore? We're in a workplace. That's going to come out too. Yes, everyone can drink. It's real life. But the cameras add thirst. They make drinking seem like a very good idea. I've been there. I'm not a massive drinker, but you feel like your adrenaline's so high, you're so stressed out, you got cameras, and it's a good idea to pound drinks. It just always seems like a good
And you're in the Hunger Games, so you know you could be killed at any moment. Of course you want to drink.
You're in the Hunger Games, you're stressed out, and you're not drinking a lot of water, and you drink more, and no housewife will disagree. Okay, none. No one's forcing you to drink alcohol, like they say. I've said that publicly about Aviva Drescher. No one's plying you with alcohol, but who's holding back from what's not correct in the workplace? So people get excited on reality TV. The more people get wasted, they get excited. If somebody goes off the wagon, uses drugs, there's a rumor. Everything bad is good in the upside down. So this one, so Teresa goes and thinks it's a good idea to get this out into the forefront. And it is good in reality TV because it's horrendous and it means we can do 12 scenes coming off of that. And I've been part of it and I've been the ringleader in it. So just so you know. But it was not great. And I'm a hypocrite for saying it, but this is the episode that I'm watching and this is what I think.
Well, because everybody with any kind of reasonable judgment and morality, when we're not on a reality show, if one hears that about their friends, boyfriend, husband, whatever, what do you do? Two things. One, you're considering, do I say anything at all? Because is it just a rumor or are there receipts that I can actually back this up? And two, you go to the friend. You don't go to strangers in a party. You don't go calling somebody. You don't send out a group text to everyone you know other than your friend. You go to your friend.
Yes.
And
it was
so
very,
that was clearly.
I don't think it's her friend. It's her show friend, which also isn't real.
Right.
It's a show structure where you put with other people. So many times these reality shows make people film and say you can't leave. And it's called because how can you make someone film their life? Like, that's not real. No one can come to my house today and put a cat. So you sign up for something that may not seem as intense as it's going to be. And so, and then Melissa said it best when she said, can we just rewind? Like, she wants to rewind the occurrence. The faces that everyone's making, Margaret, everyone, they're aghast. It's just, it's outrageous that it went on.
It did make for an entertaining show. I will say that.
It did make for an entertaining show, 100%. And then Joe, Melissa's husband, is like, yeah, he's a good-looking guy. Like, as if him being a good-looking guy has anything to do with having an affair.
That bothered me so much. I'm like, and is as if she's not a good-looking woman who deserves a faithful husband, asshole.
I don't understand that at all. And it's funny because sometimes Paul will say with me about we're having a dispute and he'll say to me, it wasn't the message, it was the messaging. Like, the messaging in this was so bad, I don't even care what this man chooses to do with his personal life. It doesn't matter to me. It was just so disrespectful at his birthday party. And how embarrassing, too, to see him and her and I love you and amazing. And she's having the best night of her life. And she's in her interview saying how amazing it is. And that's the number one thing that people hate about an affair. Not even the act, but feeling like the fool.
Yes.
The fool.
100%.
Right?
Yes. That's it. That's the worst. Not knowing the secrets, the deceit, because you feel like such an idiot. Yeah.
And everybody else knew. And like you're the village idiot. Totally. Mm-hmm. So
been there, last relationship. But anyway.
Wow.
Oh, God, yeah.
This was designed for you. Yeah. You feel like the idiot fool.
Oh, my God. Listen, there is such a thing. I don't know if it's happily ever. After I'm in the healthiest relationship right now that I've ever been in my adult life, but my ex, and I've spoken about this on my podcast, and he knows it, but he was a chronic serial cheater, and
wow.
I learned the biggest life lesson truly of my 48 years through that relationship, and it hurt and it sucked. And do you know how many DMs, Bethany, I got from other women are you still with that guy? Because he's boning my friend. I mean, like all day long. It was devastating and hurtful. And then you lose your sense of self. And then you're walking on eggshells. And then you're gaslit so many times. You don't know what the truth is, what the lies are. I was in that kind of relationship. I get it. I know that feeling of just betrayal. It's like it's the worst feeling. And then you can only blame that person and point the finger so long before you have to point the finger at yourself and go, why am I staying? What is my part? How have I contributed? Like, why did I allow that? I knew the truth. You know, I allowed it one too many times. So I had a lot of healing to do from that. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. There was a woman on New York Housewives, and I brought in to the show the fact, and I was very upset to do it, and she wasn't a good friend of mine, which I admitted, but she wasn't not on the show with me, and it was sort of my responsibility, and I did bring it into the show. There was a man that she was with that she was about to marry, and I thought he was terrible. So it's a little bit of a different circumstance than someone married for years, loves him, and has four kids. Someone is about to marry someone who everyone knows is a cheater and not a great guy, and I brought it into the show, and I still... It came back like a boomerang, and I still felt bad about it because she ended up marrying him, and she was one of the women that doesn't want to know. And so I realized there are women that don't want to know, and a woman who, and I'm not saying the guy did anything. I don't know a thing about this man, but a woman with four children who's happy certainly doesn't want to know.
No. No, it's so funny you bring that up because, oh God, I'm saying probably more than I should, but when my last partner went on to get in another relationship, people are like, oh man, do you think she knows? Like, once you're, you know, a leopard doesn't change his stripes. Like, is she just going to be the next person dealing with this type of devastation or whatever? And my yoga self is over here going, oh, people change. Like, I really do. You wish everybody the best. I wish everyone the best. It doesn't behoove me to wish people misery and pain.
Right.
But I'm like, you know, people do change. Maybe change. Maybe they're, you know, she's the perfect fit for him and good for them. Happily ever after, whatever. But then it's also like I said the same thing. I said, also, maybe she's that type of woman who's like, maybe they have an open relationship for all I know. Maybe like she's like down with like threesomes, or maybe she's fulfilling that need that he never received with perhaps me or other women. So you just don't know what's going on within people's
Exactly. Most women have some sense of something and they choose their own adventure. But that's the thing about back to being on a reality show. And I'm with you that I think it was entire, I think she handled herself with grace. I really do. She didn't go crazy, which I would have gone crazy. And she was very civilized and she was very embarrassed and she was honest about being embarrassed. And she was like, please just retract this. Like, she was really very dignified, in my opinion, in that scenario. And then Teresa acted in a way as if Teresa actually, I never knew the word gaslit back in the day, and it's overused, but it's used properly here in that Teresa was gaslighting her by projecting the fact that she had just said something about Teresa's daughter, like, you're a piece of shit. Like, Teresa, I mean, Jackie was entirely justified in saying it would be like me hearing a rumor about your daughter and saying it, and it really hit close to home for Teresa.
I also think she knew she was so in the wrong already that it just gave her a reason to eject herself from the whole thing. That's kind of, I think she was just like, oh, okay, fine. I'm going to get so pissed about this and just leave. That's how it appeared to me. Like, she that gave her some type of ammunition to justify leaving the conversation.
It was the ultimate turnaround.
Yeah.
So it's funny because I've been having this fleeting thought of like, should I be doing this show anymore? Because I'm coming so heavily against this entire genre, not just of this show, but other shows, and just a genre of mistreatment in a very new medium in the world compared to television and film and all this. And then I have conversations like this and I realize why I am doing it. And I like this show because we're utilizing it as a vehicle. We're not trashing, bashing. Like, we're actually understanding people that have been portrayed badly on these shows. So I love doing it, and you are so perfect to do it with, because you attribute it to your own life, which I'm sure you never thought you'd be doing.
No, but at the end of the day, I mean, I love women. I just do. I love. That's why I enjoyed watching this episode and was reminded of how, firstly, funny a lot of it was for me. I giggled a lot. I was, when you're talking back in an episode or a TV show, you know it's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I do have compassion for everybody, and I felt compassion for Jackie in that situation. You know, I was like talking shit at Teresa. Sorry, not sorry, Teresa. You know, but I think we all, you know, that's kind of the beauty of life. Like, we're all just living our own journey, but it's nice to dip into other people's journeys, and it's fun.
Well, you are amazing. I mean, you're really amazing. You look beautiful. I'm so happy you're in a beautiful relationship, in a beautiful place. And I'm happy you didn't do the Housewives, because it would somehow swallow you up and spit you out, and the risk is too great at a place in your life where you are now middle-aged and you are happy. The risk is too great. Look, you know, Kathy Hilton left. She did not need that. So I think everything happened for a reason. I appreciate you coming and talking about it.
Bethany, I really am a fan of yours, and I love what you put into the world, and you have a communication style I will never ever have. You're just so, like, your opinion, like, you're just so interesting and raw, and you don't think before you speak, but you're so good at it. You know what I mean? Like, you don't need to. And I love what you do as an activist, and I love that you are in the middle of this important conversation during the strike, and who knows what's going to happen with all that, but, like, we need people like you, and so you should come on my podcast sometime. I'd love to talk with you about some of these important deep issues. Yes. I think it would be great.
Perfect. Wonderful.
And how you've changed. Like, I'd love hearing you say about your own evolution and looking back and, you know, reflecting on what those shows meant to you, you know, at that time in your life, and how we all are, you know, shedding different versions of ourselves and end up, you know, anew, and maybe that's, you know, where you are right now. So I don't know, but exactly. I'd love to get into it with you.
Amazing. Love to. Thank you so much, Kat.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming, like, female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff, and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.